Let us pray. May the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you. Amen. We heard from Micah, one of what we lovingly call the minor prophets. Does anyone know why they're called minor?
They work in the coal mines.
They're short. That's the only reason, because indeed, as you can tell from what we read in Micah, they are not short on insight. They are short in number of words. And so we call them minor. And what God is doing is reminding the people of Micah's time and through Micah, reminding them of all of the wondrous things that he had already done for them. And then Micah asks, well, Lord, what do you want from us? How shall we come before you? And God does not ask for the impossible, but he simply asks that we be a good person, a fair person, and humble before our God. And then we heard from the lesson to the Corinthians from the first chapter, and we had this sense of the great power and the great wisdom of God, and how it is that, believe me, we should turn only unto him for those instructions that we need. It was also that people were looking for signs. And all God was telling them was that we have given you enough in the life and the person of Christ. And then, of course, we have the Beatitudes we just read. The wonderful story, the blessings of people that we never would have thought of as being blessed, but truly held in the heart of God. And so we have these wonderful lessons before us, the three lessons that teach us that God is involved in each and every one of our lives. And he reaches down from heaven and he puts his finger upon each of us. That's why I love having kids. You know, I give kids children's sermons even if the kids aren't in church. Because what we must do is reach and touch the kid in each and every one of us. And that's what God does. A number of years ago, I was serving a church in Wappingers Falls, New York, up along the Hudson River, south of Poughkeepsie. And in that church, I was given the responsibility of setting up a manger scene. A lady had given it to the church, and she wanted me to take care of that manger scene. So I would dutifully set it up. One year, we were getting ready for Christmas Eve and putting together 325 candles. We never needed 325, but we put them together anyway. And we were getting all caught up in all of the details of Christmas and Advent and everything. And here I was setting up this manger scene. And for the life of me, I could not find the baby Jesus. I thought to myself after a while, you know, maybe I'm getting too caught up in the details and not enough in the meaning. And sure as the world, as soon as I shifted gears and started thinking differently, not magically, because I know that was not the way it was, but there I found Jesus. I began to think about it. And I began to think about how wonderful it would be if we all of a sudden went and returned to the basics. Why it is and how it is that we are meant to come before God. And that is what Micah asked of God. And I began to think, if we came before God as Micah had asked, how do you suppose we might change our world? We had come with that humility and love and respect for one another. Would there be hunger and homelessness in our world? Would a child cry out because of some painful disease? Would there be nations waging war? Would we have riots in the streets of Cairo? Would a terrorist bomb awaken us at night? What kind of civility would come and change our world and our lives if we went out in that new and different direction of which Micah spoke? Would we not rediscover generosity and peace and a helping hand and the gentleness amongst all people? I realize it's a dream of mine, but I don't think that it's a pipe dream. I don't think that it's an impossibility. If only we can learn the lesson that Micah was teaching us. Let us come before the Lord with all we are. I thought about it. I began to realize, you know, our attitude makes all the difference in the world when it comes to the worship of God. I was thinking about one Sunday. I've been supplying churches now for the last 3.5 years. It'll be 4 years this June that I retired. And when you supply churches, you get to go on some wonderful journeys on some absolutely beautiful days. I know it is snow-covered, but believe it or not, the trip down from Oak Ridge down here to Sterling was a lovely and beautiful trip this morning. I remember one day I was on my way to the church in Stillwater. Somewhere up there. And I was going to the church, and it was an absolutely beautiful day, but I had supplied there 4 or 5 Sundays in a row. I was kind of going through the motions, and sure enough, I was going through Sparta, going up a hill by the shopping center near the intersection with Route 517. My turn indicator was on, and a guy pulls out in front of me and cuts me off. I'm driving along, hanging on. We get to the light turns red. I stop, he stops, he cranks down his window, and I think, oh no, I don't want to do this on a Sunday morning. All right, I dutifully poked my window thing. He leans out his window and says, I'm awfully sorry for doing that. Have a nice day. And he drove away. Made all the difference in the world. And I've told that story 1,000 times. I went into Stillwater, couldn't be happier to preach because I'd be able to tell the story of this wonderful and nice 10-second experience that I have had. Attitude is everything. And part of that attitude is what the early prophets were dealing with. The simple fact of the matter was that they realized that God was everywhere, God was in everything, and God was in absolute control, and there was no way on the face of this earth that people could limit his power or influence. Let's face it. Micah was teaching it to us. We don't impress God. He is grander than the most magnificent of mountain ranges in western Wyoming. And he is as very deep as the very foundations of the earth. And it is truly amazing, in a very negative way, at least in my thinking, how it is that so many people, when something comes along to upset us, we immediately blame God for it. When I think that instead of looking for who to blame for things, we ought to be out and celebrate the great and the magnificent love of God shown and given to us in the gifts that Micah tells us of. You know, when we think about God, He is so great and so wonderful, and yet there are people who have their blinders on, and they lose track of the fact that He loves each and every one of us. If we walk out on a night, my church in Nebraska, we could do it. You could go outside at night and look up into the heavens, and to the north we saw the northern lights And the universe opened it up, and you could see constellations and planets and everything else. And if we can see all of that, then how on earth could we possibly forget God? And yet people do. God is so great and so big and so beyond our comprehension that how do you suppose we are meant to come before Him? With what are we to appear before His throne and honor His presence? We are truly a most fortunate people, for we have the gift of Christ, who has shown us the love and the approachability of God in ways that Micah could only have dreamt about. But in no way is the power and the reality of God lessened because we sit here and say, we know all of the answers, we know Christ. Christ reveals the love of God in an undeniable way, a way to which we must all respond. And the very essence of our being must be handled freely and with a great deal of love. And anything less than giving and doing our very best, Micah tells us, simply does not measure up. God has shown us what He wants in the light. Not only in what He told Micah, but also in what He taught us in the life and person of Christ. Is there any gift that Jesus brought beside Himself to God? Think about it. What Jesus offered up were words of praise, words of healing. He taught children. He preached to the masses. He gave all of the credit to God. Was there a single gift that we could not offer as well? With what did Jesus come before God? He came with Himself. And He invites each and every one of us to do the same with humility of heart and adoration, a willingness to offer our whole self in complete. Micah indicated the path. Jesus walked that path. You and I have been invited to begin our own faithful journeys as well. The demands that God makes upon our lives are moral and spiritual. If we are going to worship and come before Him, then we are to do so by being obedient to the walk and the way that has been set before us. We are to love our neighbor. We are to love God. We are to walk humbly. We are to do justice. We are to love kindness. What could be more basic than that? It's not complicated theological jargon. It is possible for all people to participate in. But don't be fooled. It's not easy. Only the very highest and the very holiest of virtues are being called for. There is nothing more difficult or more demanding than the offering of ourselves. And what we are being shown in Micah and then in the life and the person of Christ is how religion is meant to ask for our very hearts and soul in devotion and dedication. We are not likely to fully love God, nor be able to come before His throne if we don't first love the people around us. Our faith and religion are to be focused upon the events and the people of everyday life. We can't go far wrong if we observe such basics and come before the Lord with the kind of heart and life that He seeks. God has shown us one and all what it takes and what He expects. It is the way of justice, the way of kindness, the way of humility, and a wondrous offering of our deepest love to God and to our Savior Christ. Let us pray. Lord, help us as we seek to walk in Your way and serve You as You would have us. In In the name of Christ we pray.
Amen.